Welcome to Off the Cuff with SDJ, a podcast about everyday life from the spiritual, the physical, and the metaphysical perspective. Each week, I'll bring you episodes that have a casual, laid-back, informal, and spontaneous look at this thing we call life. I'm Sunny Dawn Johnston. Now let's get started. And welcome, 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 my friends, to Off the Cuff podcast with SDJ. So happy to have you here today. I have a beautiful special guest I can't wait to introduce you to because I know that you are going to love her and her work, and she's going to teach us some great things about healing through feeling, which I'm really excited to talk about. So let me just do a brief introduction, and then we're going to bring Heather Ash on. So, all right. So Off the Cuff with SDJ, this podcast is conversational, high energy, and vibrational. It is meant to create some enlightenment possibly and expand your mind and your heart. I am Sunny Dawn Johnston. I'm a psychic medium, transformational thought leader, change maker, and philanthropist. I love learning about people. I love learning why they do what they do, how they've done what they've done, and the journey that got them to where they are today. Mm-hmm. So let's get started. And I get to introduce you to this beautiful woman, best-selling author, love revolutionary, which I love that title, community creatrix and spiritual teacher, Heather Ash Amara. Welcome, Heather Ash.
Thanks so much, Sunny Dawn. It's so good to be with you.
I do. I love that. I'm like, love revolutionary. That's awesome. Good title, sister. So some people may not know, but we're publishing sisters. And I don't know how many moons ago, but many moons ago, we wrote a book together called, what was it called?
No Mistakes.
No Mistakes.
It just popped into my head. So
I even wrote it down and here it is in front of me. And I'm like, well, let's just see. So yeah, we wrote a book together called No Mistakes. And it was a great book with stories about people walking through adversity. So I'm so excited to have you here. Let me share a little bit about you and who you are so people know. And then we're going to jump into this exciting time together. All right. So Heather Ash Amara is the warrior goddess mama and creatrix of the Warrior Heart Practice. She's dedicated to inspiring depth, creativity, and joy by sharing the most potent tools from a variety of world traditions. Raised in Southeast Asia, Heather Ash has traveled the world from childhood and is continually inspired by the diversity and beauty of human expression and experience. She brings this open-hearted, inclusive worldview to her writings and her teachings. Heather Ash is the author of numerous books. I was trying to count them and I didn't quite get, I think I got to 11 or 12, but maybe more than that, including the best-selling Warrior Goddess Training, Warrior Goddess Wisdom, The 7 Secrets to Happy and Healthy Relationships with Don Miguel Ruiz Jr., and The Warrior Heart Practice. Awesome. So great to have you with us, sister.
Thank you. So good to be here.
All right. All right. So first, just question right off the top, because there's many people that may not know a lot about you and about your work. So I find it interesting that you really have traveled all over the world from since a young age. And you said, you know, you were quarantined in Texas for 9 weeks, and it's probably the longest you've ever been anywhere.
I think it might have been, seriously.
Quarantine does that to you. So could you just give just a little background about kind of who you are and how you got to what you're doing today, which is really such awesome, purposeful work?
Well, as you know, growing up in Asia and moving, we literally went around the world every year. I had this just crazy, wonderful childhood where I was exposed to so many different people and experiences of ways of being. And when I first came to the United States to go to college, I was like, what is wrong here? Like, there's something wrong. And what I felt was this deep sense of disconnection in myself and the people around me, but I didn't even have language for it. So I got into politics really big for 2 years and became a big social activist. And I had a really beautiful sense of fulfillment from that and a lot of anger.
Yeah.
And a couple of years in, I was like, I'm missing something. All my friends are angry. I'm angry and nothing's really changing. And that was when I dove back into spiritual studies, which I had done as a kid, and started in with European shamanism. So I was like, all right, what's my background? Let's see what my ancestors, how they connected with the earth. How did they do this differently than we do now? And that was just a huge revelation. And so that's been my path, is really helping us come back into connection with ourselves, with each other, with the land and nature and the humans and animals and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So interestingly, that's so interesting, starting in politics and then, and that causing this awareness of, oh man, I don't like this vibe that I've got going on. So today in the climate that we're in and the situation that we're in this pandemic, and you're always a voice of empowerment. And so I can see how you started in that field, because that's kind of a thread that's run through all of your work, obviously. So in this place where we are today, what do you feel like is really kind of sitting on your heart? Like, what are you noticing and what are you observing as we're walking through these unprecedented times that you're like, oh man, this is what I need to help people or want to share with people, because it's what I'm learning too. What is that for you?
Yeah, I think the main thing is to really understand that people are having very different experiences. Mm-hmm. And that this place that we've been so insulated of, like, everybody's having my experience, that I feel like my prayer is that it'll help us to really open to how much suffering there is and that there's always been. This isn't mm-hmm. new.
Right.
It's closer to home.
Yes.
And that understanding of, we all are deeply connected, and the experiences that some people are having for the first time are more normal, or the more day-to-day experiences for millions and millions and millions of people. And so how do we do this differently? Mm-hmm. So that we bring more compassion and presence and community. How do we create that sense of, we're all in this together, rather than I'm in this for myself?
Yes, yes. I like the word you used, insulated, because I think that For many of us, and I think that Americans specifically, we have been very insulated from what is actually happening and always has been happening in the world. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been very protected, and now all of a sudden it's at our doorstep, and we don't have necessarily haven't had the tools to or been used to using the tools, maybe, to stay in a place of centeredness and groundedness and connection and compassion even.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And that even in our generation, mm-hmm. like, I think I just recently read something of, like, somebody who's born in 1900s going through the Great Depression, World War One, World War Two, mm-hmm. possibly Vietnam, like all of the upheavals that we've had as humans.
Sure.
And there's been this time of relative peace in the United States somewhat, though, because it hasn't come here. We've been going out there,
yes.
but it hasn't really hit home as much for this particular generation or the last couple generations. So may we use this time to educate ourselves, to open, and to be really creative.
Yeah.
It's an opportunity to be creative and completely outside of the box than we ever have been before.
Yes. And I feel like if people can tap into that creativity, then they're going to find their spirit. And it's not going to be so much the head of, oh my God, everything's changing and the unknown and all of that. But instead, like, okay, it's like, we're getting back to, like, not getting back because we don't go back, but we're calling forth who we really are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that much deeper connection. And I think that's the gift of this time, is that the familiar has just done this, right? Yeah. That sense of safety from the outside, and I know what my world is like, and things are set in a way, whether there was struggle or ease.
Right.
Now we're seeing how fragile things actually are, mm-hmm. and how vulnerable we are and how interconnected we are. And we don't have to go into fear with that. We can go into love. We can go into respect. Mm-hmm. And it's exciting. It's hard. It's definitely hard. But I always look at, whenever there's a challenge or a change, there's also a huge opportunity for an opening.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So the possibilities, right? Because people, we kind of are a culture that we want to know, we want to know, we want to know. And so the unknown is so scary. But to me, I've always thought about the unknown is where all the possibilities lie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and so, and it's certainly, it's a shift, and it is scary when you've been used to having it be a certain way. It can be scary or it could be freaking exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. I'm with you on the exciting.
Yeah. Go for exciting.
Yeah. And
that place of being in relationship with the mystery, the truth is it's always been mysterious. We've had the illusion that it was continuous and known, but the truth is life is always mysterious. It's not known. And there's so much that is beyond the visible.
Yes.
That is always present.
Yes. Yeah. And we've never really been in control. We just kind of thought we were.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. I agree. Mm-hmm. So you talked about the power of healing through feeling. And the focus was releasing anger, grief, and fear. So if people want to, because I think it's so interesting, because isn't that the thing that so many people are scared of is their feelings? Like, let's push them down. Let's stuff them. Let's ignore them. Let's deny them. Let's put them in their compartment. Let's shoo them away. And so if we want to heal through feeling, what does that look like, Heather Ash?
What it looks like is a willingness to turn towards your feelings and your emotional body rather than repressing or cycling by thinking about. Because you can keep an emotion going forever and actually never clear it mm-hmm. by telling yourself a story, pushing the button for the emotion comes up, then you tell yourself more of a story, and then you have more of the emotion. Mm-hmm. So really to heal the emotional body is the willingness to ask yourself, what am I actually feeling right now? Mm-hmm. Where is it in my body? And learn to sit with it with this incredible compassion and gentleness and presence. And I think about it, if you were with somebody who was sick or who was dying, mm-hmm. and you were sitting with them, what quality would you bring to that human? And that's the same quality you want to bring to your emotional body. Because most of us have been so mean and cruel to our emotional bodies. We've judged our emotions, we've pushed them down, we've tried to repress them, we've put them on other people. Mm-hmm. And so it takes this willingness to learn how to sit with yourself and not try to change it, fix it, make it go away, understand it. Just, I'm feeling grief right now. It's in my chest. Mm-hmm. Let me just be with it.
Yeah. Why do you think that's so scary to be with it?
There's a lot of agreements we have around emotions. One, there's a whole meme and in our time of you're here to be productive. And I'm looking at like the foundational, especially for the United States, you're here to be productive. And in order to be productive and prove yourself so that you're worthy, you can't have emotions. You have to push them down. So there's this really basic training that most of us get from our families, and our families don't set up to go, okay, I'm going to really like have you repress your emotional body.
Right.
But their actions end up doing that.
Sure.
Because they're dealing with it as well.
Right.
I think the other thing I've heard and that I felt myself is like, if I go into my emotional body, it's never going to end.
Yeah.
I'm going to cry forever. I'm going to feel this incredible grief. I'm going to be angry and I'm going to kill somebody, or I'm going to be, you know, do something really destructive. And so there's mm-hmm. also this fear of being out of control. Mm-hmm. But actually where we go out of control, when you repress something, if you put pressure onto something, that's when the out of controlness happens, because it has to blow out sideways to relieve the pressure.
Exactly. Exactly.
If you open up and say, okay, I want to invite my emotional body to come back into relationship mm-hmm. with me. I want to be in relationship with this emotional being that I am. And you allow the emotions to start to move. And this doesn't mean I'm going to go get angry at my partner, so I release some of that energy, because that never works.
Right. Never. But
never. Probably never. Yeah. But you could try it. But but the willingness to go, I'm feeling anger. What do I need to do to move this? How do I be how am I creative and how I express it and move it through my body without the story? Just pure action is incredibly powerful for cleaning out the old emotions. Once we clean out the old, we're present with our emotional body.
Yeah.
And then it's fast.
Sure, because then it's just in and you recognize it, and it's and you can move it. It's not all these years and decades of, you know, I've always talked about it as kind of the beach ball that you're keeping under the water, and man, you somebody calls your name and boom, it explodes. Yeah. And it happens over and over and over again until you clear, release. And really it is. And what I love is that I think you had a great point, and that was people are afraid it will never end. That just like, what will happen? Like I just might go on my whole entire life. I'm like, oh no, you'll get done. You'll get tired of that. Like, you're not going to stay there.
Yeah.
You won't stay
there.
Your
emotional body can't keep it going. Is it
absolutely
true? Yeah.
But if you keep pushing it down, you do stay there.
Yeah.
So exactly. It's just underlying everything. It's got these just little webs.
Really does. Yeah. And what I've seen, like, kind of the timeline of the pandemic so far, which has been very short, truly, mm-hmm. although it seems like it's been decades, right?
Right.
But
yeah.
We've had a couple, like a month and a half, 2 months of quarantine. Mm-hmm. And there was a known factor about that. And the container was everybody stay at home and then we'll open up later. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll beat the virus, we'll figure it out, and then we can all open up. And now we're in this really uncomfortable second phase, which is, do we open up? Should we? Like, if we open up, what's going to happen? And so that sense of I know what I'm doing and why I'm doing it is now being replaced with a lot, like we talked about earlier, it's confusion, uncertainty, more anxiety. And for me, when we are in relationship with our emotional body and we're willing to let ourselves feel what's going on, and move that, what happens is we go back into relationship with our intuition. And
bingo.
This is what we need now is
yes.
our intuition.
Yes. I'm just going to hallelujah, because I've been talking about it all week long. Like, listen, we cannot just listen to every single piece of news media because it all says the opposite of what the other says. We've got to tap into our hearts and our spirits and listen to what is being told to us individually.
Yeah. Every second.
Every second.
You know, like you're outside, you've got your mask on. I mean, this happened when I drove here from San Antonio. At one point, I'm like, I really need to get ice for, because I've been super isolated. I'm like, I really need to get ice for my cooler because all my frozen stuff is melting. And I put my mask on, I got all ready, and I walked towards, and it was like, no. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, all right. Because I've learned to listen to that very simple voice, and I just trust it.
Yes.
So, and it's going to be every moment, but we have to clear the fear out. Because if you're in fear, you can't hear it.
You can't hear it. And everything has the vision through fear. You're looking through fear with everything. So then nothing can actually be clear. Nothing.
Exactly.
I echo that. And I've been talking to my own community about that for the last few weeks. Just, we got to tap back into the intuition. And guys, it's our natural state of being.
Yes.
So it's what tells you. And on the other side of it, if you go out and you walk up and your sister calls you and says, God, man, it's been 10 weeks. And I really emotionally like need this. And your spirit says, yes. Mm-hmm. Listen to that on either side. And, you know, the other piece that I'm seeing, and I think that this is where people are so struggling too, is because so many people care what other people think that they won't listen to their intuition because, like, well, but my neighbor might think I'm blah, 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 or my brother might think, or the whoever the hell it is. It's like, okay, that's why we're tapping into intuition, because intuition comes from the inside and you follow that regardless of what others might think.
Yes. And people are always going to have their opinions.
Yeah. So, and you're not going to make them all happy.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to make them all happy, and you're not going to be able to satisfy everybody. And the truth of the matter is there isn't a right answer.
True.
There isn't a right answer.
Yeah.
You know, there's not an easy answer. I think people just want it to be just give me a cut and dry and then, okay, I'm good. Follow the rules, you know, but come on, we're not sheep, you know? Mm-hmm. We're not sheep. We need to guide ourselves forward, not keep looking for somebody to tell us what to do right now.
Yeah. And be deeply self-responsible in that way. And,
absolutely.
And community responsible. Like feel like that place of responsibility. Like I used to not love that word at all. Cause for me, I had linked responsibility with punishment. Like if I'm not, if I don't do it right, if I'm not responsible in the right way, I'm going to beat myself up, basically. I mm-hmm. had a great developed judge. And as I've cleared the judgment out, and I love that word responsibility so much because it makes me have power mm-hmm. over my actions and choices. Yes. And to also, I'm not taking responsibility for other people. I'm respecting other people.
Yes.
With my choices and understanding everything's connected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and the ripple effect.
Yeah.
The ripple effect. So if I feed fear, then I share more fear. And if I feed love or joy or peace or harmony or compassion, and I really think that's what we're needing too, is compassion and recognizing that people are just in a state of confusion, and confusion underlying its fear. So if we can have that compassion, then we don't get so angry and mm-hmm. project all that out.
Yeah, exactly. And I think something else we're going to be navigating, and I see this as a beautiful practice. So now that we're going out more and wearing masks, for those of us that are doing that, like I went out for the first time today and I was like, whoa, this is so weird. Mm-hmm. And what I noticed when I went for a walk a couple days ago was this fear coming up in my body of like, they're not wearing a mask. Do they have the virus? Oh my God, what do I? And mm-hmm. it was really subtle in a way. Mm-hmm. And I've talked to people about this, of we have to be so mindful right now that we don't respond to other humans out of fear.
Yes. Yes.
And that it's going to be an ongoing practice, because it's going to be natural for that to arise, because our physical body wants to keep itself safe. Mm-hmm. So that fear arises, but then to not let the mind grab onto it and mm-hmm. just go, oh, hi, fear. Okay. How do I clear the fear, come back into love for another human? Mm-hmm. And what's, you know, how do I create the distance in love yes. rather than from fear?
Yes. Yes. In a space, like for me, when those fear-based thoughts come up, what I notice for myself is that I have to acknowledge them. I have to acknowledge them, because yes. otherwise the same thing, pushing it down. Mm-hmm. And when I acknowledge it, what I do is I say, thank you for sharing. So that I'm aware, thank you for sharing. And then I choose a different perspective. So thank you for sharing. I'm not focusing on the fear. I choose to stand in a place of love. And for me, that helps flip it, because without acknowledging it, I had a whole container full of things I wasn't acknowledging, and it just built up, kind of like the beach ball we were talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, and that it is that place of, you know, exactly what you said, like acknowledge it, choose again, mm-hmm. choose again, choose yeah. again.
And we're going to be doing that a lot.
Yeah, we're going to be doing that a lot. And another game I play with myself is I'll do quick scans of like, if I keep holding this fear, what's my life going to be like? Mm. So I'll do like, what'll be like in 5 years? That's what, when there's something really big, I'll do like, but in the short term, I'll be like, sweetie, this is not going to be good. Mm-hmm. Like, hi, fear. I yeah. see you. And okay, we're going to play a different way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you follow the energy, it's like, ah, this is not going to be pleasant.
Well, and I think too, because I never thought about it that way. But for me, I think I look at it and I go, wait, that's not who I am.
Yes.
Like I'm being who maybe the energy of the environment or the situation, but okay, wait, Sunny, that's actually not who you are. That's not even how you think. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot mm-hmm. of people have gotten in, people that I know that generally are not fear-based people, because of what's happening. And it's not a judgment. It's just a, okay, wait, let me just check in, because this isn't who I am. And when we're not being who we are, it's not going to feel good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's such a good point. And that learning how to navigate without taking on everyone else's opinions, mm-hmm. energies, emotions.
Yeah.
Is really critical as this time as well, because there is so much fear. Mm-hmm. pressure around us, and to find that light, to find that center to navigate. I keep thinking of it as like this ocean that's really turbulent right now. Mm-hmm. And if you have a boat and you know where you're going, you know there's going to be waves. It's not like this is going to be clear sailing, like suddenly the seas part and you sail cleanly. You know it's going to be bumpy, but you have that connection to your own heart. Mm-hmm. And you know, in a way, it's an illusion of we're going here, because we're going here.
Right.
And so how do we bring ourselves that actually the journey is deeper into our own heart? It's right here.
Yes. Yes. And isn't that what's happening actually? It's just, that is the journey right now. It's deeper into our, it's seemingly things physical, but it's really a journey that's taking us deeper into our own heart. The physical is absolutely an aspect of it, but it's calling us into so much more presence within. Yeah, it's beautiful. I love it. So, okay. So one of the things that I read is that you are really with this power of healing through feeling that we've been talking about. There's like a three different aspects, I think you talked about. So one of them, and I like this a lot, is the you talked about the training that we have. You know, we're domesticated to not express our emotions. And then we carry those unprocessed emotions around, and then how we release it. Do you have a process that actually works for you? Is it kind of just that redirecting in your mind, or do you actually have something that you either do for yourself or that you teach your students and your community to do to help release that anger and that fear and that grief?
Yeah, I have a lot of suggestions because it's going to be each of us figuring out what works for me.
Sure.
But some of the suggestions are like, if it's anger, anger wants to be expressed, sound movement. That's the way that you move it out of your body. And so pounding on pillows, putting on loud music and moving the body, being in a car and letting yourself scream, all of that creative way of like, what would help my being, my body release this? And with grief, like for me, I had a lot of repressed grief, way, way packed down. And so what I learned to do is anytime I had any tears, like there was a commercial and I started getting teary, I'd be like, there's an opening, go.
You know, and that just kind of take you and release other layers of grief.
Release other layers, yeah, or movies. I pick really specific movies and give myself permission to use that as the impetus to get the emotion to go, to clear. And, you know, it was so sweet. I was doing a podcast the other day or a Facebook Live, and I started crying because I was saying goodbye because I've been doing a lot of Facebook Lives. And so we were closing that chapter and I started crying. And someone's like, oh, don't cry. And I'm like, oh no, like, hard for these tears.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it's such a gift, but we have to find the ins for us to move the emotion, to let it clear.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. And do you, when you find that, whatever technique, whatever tool you find, do you find that for you, you always use that one, or do you find at different times for different layers or different experiences, you need different tools?
I use different tools. And I think everybody's different. Like some people want just one that they can go to that's really familiar. And if that's your bent, then absolutely do that. I tend to shift it around with what's going on for me. Yeah. Like the other day I got really upset around something, got really, really angry. And it was so funny because I was like, well, I need to go sit by the stream and meditate and like clear this in a really gentle way. And I started noticing the way I was walking and I'm stomping and I'm like, oh no, I need to stop. And so I stopped. Randy must have been laughing so hard at me. I stomped up and down this, our publisher, and I was staying at his, on his land, up and down the road for like probably 45 minutes, just moving, stomping, just.
Yeah,
get it all out. And then I was like, okay, that feels better.
Yeah. And for me, once I do that releasing, I always take a few minutes, however long it takes, to then fill that space back up with something that feels good or joyful or light or something, so that it doesn't just, like it automatically attracts it back again. Do you do something like that too?
Yeah, I would then look at, okay, where do I want to put my attention now? What do I want to set the intention around, or what energy do I want to now fill up with? That's incredibly helpful to then hold something new in that space.
Yeah, I think that's oftentimes people are always wanting to release, you know, okay, I need to release, I need to release, I need to let go and surrender. I'm like, okay, and don't forget to fill up.
Don't forget that. Yeah, such a good point. And also don't forget to disconnect the story.
Yeah. Ooh, that's good.
It's huge. So again, if you have a story of, you know, life isn't fair. This shouldn't be happening. How dare they do that? Nobody respects me. I mean, I'm not smart enough. Like whatever the story is, mm-hmm. you tell yourself that story. You're basically pushing a button emotionally. Mm-hmm. So the world isn't fair. That was my favorite thing as a kid. It's not fair. And I'd have all this emotion around that. My dad would say, the world isn't fair. And I'm like, that's not fair that the world isn't fair. And every time I thought that, and still every time I think that, I go into emotion. Mm-hmm. And so when we're clearing emotion, we want to do it separately from the story, mm-hmm. and to really go towards the emotion. And the story is going to be like wanting to egg you on. And you have to just go, thank you, sweetie, for sharing your story. Mm-hmm. I'm doing this. And then once you're clear, you are able to then witness the story.
Yeah.
And so often the story we're telling ourselves, it's not actually based in reality.
Yeah.
It's something we want or something we think should be happening, or it's a way that we want life to be, but it's just not true. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. And you're able to witness that. It. You're able to witness yeah. it from a recognized, more almost like the observer of yes. it and yeah. not be attached.
Yeah. And be curious. I always think about it like you're an archaeologist and you're going in to be like, all right, what are the levels of history that are here? Because mm-hmm. so often the story that we're telling ourselves and the emotion, when you have a big emotional reaction, it's almost never about what you're
for sure
reacting to, right? Yeah. There's something. And so if you think about, okay, I need to keep digging gently to unearth, what else is this connected to? Mm-hmm. What else is going on? What's the older wounding that yeah. I can now bring love to, that I can now bring my presence to? Because so often they just need to be brought up into the light mm-hmm. and connected to with our, from our heart. And they start to fall apart.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that a lot of times when we do that, part of the reason people are afraid not to is because they start to feel shame or guilt that they yes. are having that experience. And they're like, oh, I shouldn't feel this way. This is wrong. Instead of, like you're saying, go in as the archaeologist, it's just digging and just yeah. an observer, completely separate. Just let's just see what's in here. And then it's almost like you can allow it without feeling that shame and that guilt, so it yes. can come up.
Yeah. Yeah. And that it's normal mm-hmm. to have we're always going to have emotions. Mm-hmm. It's our relationship to our emotional body that we're working to shift. So
yeah.
I always remind people that, because that's another illusion that we can get caught up with. Like, when I do this right, I'll never have these unpleasant emotions again.
Right.
And sail through life completely calm and blissed out and in a meditative state.
Right.
And it's just not going to be that way.
Right. And yeah, a lot of people think that as teachers, right? Like, yeah. oh, you guys must have it all figured out and nothing bad ever happens. Oh, I don't necessarily think bad things happen because I don't look at it that way. But yeah, we got shit. Yeah. We have shit yeah. going on, you know, because we yeah. still have, there's still layers. Mm-hmm. I kind of look at it that once the layers are gone, we get to check out. So yeah. we're done.
Stick around for a while.
That's right. So make sure you got something to work on. Okay, Heather Ash, I have a question for you about your name, because I love the story about your name, and I love names. I've got an interesting name. I name my kids different names, and I'm sure everybody wonders how that name came to be.
I was born Heather, and I always love that name because I'm half Scottish and half French, and that was like my Scottish magic. And I, many, many years ago, I fell in love with firewalking mm-hmm. and I've always had a deep relationship with fire, but that was a big transformation in my life, is to be in service to fire and bringing people to the fire. And my friend started calling me Ash as a nickname in relationship to that. And it's multi-layered because it's about the fire and the purification process and all of us like burning away what doesn't serve us, purifying what doesn't serve us. My maiden name, Mackenzie, or my maternal name, Mackenzie, means the fire that shines but does not burn.
Oh.
So, how's that
That's
for
That's interesting. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. My maternal, my Scottish line. And so one day I just realized I don't feel like Heather anymore. I feel mm-hmm. like I wanted to initiate myself and yeah. step into a bigger expression. And so I brought them together.
I love that. I have a connection with fire. I have 9 planets in fire in my astrology. I'm fire, girl. And I remember when we did your fire walk, and I was so excited because I'd never done one before. And you know, some of the people are like, seriously, you're going to, you know, that's how people get like a little nervous. Like, I don't know, you might get burned. I'm like, yeah, me and fire, we're friends. This is going to be great. And it was great. I had a great experience with it. But I remember thinking about that and going, it's such a sacred, I don't know if you would call it a vow or responsibility mm-hmm. to be the person in charge of creating that space for people.
Yeah. It is a deep honor to do that. Yeah.
Because it is, it's powerful. Mm-hmm. It's powerful. So thank you for that. That many, however many years ago that was.
Yeah. It was a while ago. Unity of the Hills in Texas.
Yeah. 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 All right. I have a couple fun off the cuff questions for you. You already shared one, but let's hear another one. What's an interesting fact about you that most people don't know?
I have a really interesting collection of stuffed animals that I recently realized I needed to pare down. So now I have 3 of them in my trailer that I travel with, and I'm in another trailer. I live in an Airstream. It's hilarious. I live in a mobile Airstream, and then when I'm grounded, I live in an Airstream that's 1940s. That's been adobed over, and I have my little stuffed animals here.
I love that. I love it. So there's a thing about stuffed animals. The last 2 authors that I've spoken to, there's a thing about stuffed animals. So, really, so seriously. I love it. Awesome. Yeah. All right. How do you define success?
Feeling a deep sense of gratitude in everything that you do. Mm. Yeah.
I like that. Beautiful. What is your number one favorite material item in your life right now? And why do you love it so much?
I love these questions. They're so
Yeah, this is off the cuff, guys. Nobody knows what I'm going to ask.
Yeah, exactly. She has not prepped us for this.
Nope.
It's so funny. Like before the pandemic hit, one of the things I would have said is I have this is so random. Another random thing about me, this Japanese hot pot where it keeps your water hot. Mm. I just reunited with it. So I'm feeling very tender about it.
Because it's been out of your life for 9
it's
weeks.
It's been out of my life for 9 plus weeks now. So I'm like, oh, you're back. You're so perfect.
Isn't that funny how we have that just connection to certain things and like, this is my thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Totally random. That was first thing that popped into my head. So that's what I'll share.
I like it. I like it. Do you have, do you tend to have either a bucket list or goals? Do you have things in your life that you look and go, okay, I want to be able to accomplish this? Is that kind of how you set your life up? Or do you do more of just as spirit guides you and you take that step, or maybe both?
I do both. I definitely do both, where I've learned enough about how life works that I can set a goal and then I'm like, all right, mama, all right, universe, give it to me. Like,
I agree. I'm here. I'm here with you on that one. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And if there was one message that you would need to share or feel like you wanted to share with everyone that you would be sharing every single time you saw people, what is that message? Like overall, the big message that you feel like is so important for people to know, what would that be?
To use every challenge as a way to grow and strengthen and blossom rather than using it to close down and go more into fear.
Yeah. I like that. It's not always easy to do.
Yeah.
Right. It's not always easy to do, but I think that oftentimes that's where we get that strength and the courage and the grit.
Yes.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
All right. So what's up next for you, my friend? Like where, I know you're settled for a bit, right? Mm-hmm. And because we tend to go and travel and speak and who knows what's going to happen there. Like, so what's up next for you? Where are you planning to do? What are you planning to do, or where are you heading?
I'm really excited. So I'm back in New Mexico. I just finished buying land from the land partner that had gone in with me. So I am now the sole owner of 180 acres of land outside of Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. So my summer is going to be spending as much time on the land, starting to get the road fixed, just doing projects and being out in nature and creating a haven for people to come, mm-hmm. which is why that land called me mm-hmm. is to steward it and to rest into it and to create a hermitage and a space for us to all to come to be in relationship with nature in a really deep way. So
I remember when you received that land, I remember you putting out a call for people to come and kind of help. Yeah. Maybe it was clear it. Was it clear the space? Like there was stuff
was stuff
get rid of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So are you going to do this on your own, or are you actually bringing people in to help support you as you do it?
There are some people that are coming in that'll be coming in to help. And I'm just waiting to see what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But it'll definitely be a community effort.
Yeah. For sure. So that's a big project.
Yeah. It's a huge project. And I want to do it in right relationship to the land. So we're going very slowly and very mindfully, which feels really good.
Beautiful. I one day I'm coming out to check it out. Sure. Absolutely. And you've written, how many books have you written? Because I tried to count them and are you like at 12 or 15?
Something like that. I mean, I have 8 that are published by publishers, and then there's a whole host of other ones that are self-published.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, whatever number it is there another one coming? Are you writing?
I am writing. Mm-hmm. I'm working on 2 projects right now. One is a companion book to the Warrior Heart Practice. Mm. And the second one is I'm working on a dissertation for a PhD, and that's been a long-term project. And I finally got all my organization systems set up. So I'm doing a deep dive into Toltec shamanic wisdom and reading every book that's ever been written about Toltec shamanism and looking at it through the perspective of a woman's experience. Mm. So it's really interesting.
Which is different than what a lot of the writings have been about, right?
Exactly. It's been an interesting dive in. There's gonna be a lot of dreaming that'll be part of this project mm-hmm. for sure.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons that so much of your work has resonated so much with women is because so much of the Toltec traditions have been through the masculine voice.
Yes.
And so you coming with the feminine perspective it's just taken off because people really resonate with that.
Yeah. It's such powerful work.
Yeah.
It's just such immense work. It's so beautiful. And it's really true is that it's been through the perspective mostly of men for so long.
Yes.
Which is beautiful. There's nothing wrong with that. And what I've just realized is that as in a female body, things are different. Mm-hmm. And so we need to navigate it differently as women, especially in the beginning stages. Our domestication is really different. Our hormones are really different. So
mm-hmm. Beautiful. I love it. I'm excited for you and for everyone else too. All right. So do you have, I think you shared, actually you do because I got smart. I'm so proud of myself. I'm like ahead of the game because you're going to offer a special gift to everyone that's listening and watching and the wisdom of our feelings visualization. Does that sound
right? Yay.
Yay. And guess what? Look at this. Look what I got. I got it right there.
Look at you.
Because I'm like, I'm not going to remember how to say that. I don't know what that is. So I don't think Heather Ash is going to know all those details. So I'm like, look, I'll put it right up there. So I'm going to actually put this in the comments afterwards so people can grab that link for you. And so can you just tell a little bit about what that gift is for them?
Yeah, it's a short visualization that helps us to realign ourselves with our emotional body. Mm-hmm. So to really find that place of your emotional body is incredibly wise. Mm-hmm. So it's another form of intuition when you learn how to work with it.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Well, that'll be great. So make sure that you grab that link, my friends. I will put it in the comments so that you can pick it up there too. But if you want to, I don't know, write all those letters down, or I'll put it in the comments so you'll have it there as well. All right, Heather Ash. So anything you'd like to leave our listeners with? Any last bit of wisdom or knowledge that you want to share?
Just a quick teaching around or practice around every time you have a gap in your life. So you're walking to the bathroom, you're at a stoplight, which we're not having as much now, but any place where there's space, you're making your coffee in the morning, you're washing dishes, you're walking to the bathroom. Play with, instead of going into worry and busyness or thinking, which most of us do, what does calm feel like in my body right now? What does compassion feel like in my body right now? Just pick some qualities that you want to embody and practice them in those in-between times. So that's some way that we can start to really shift our reality. And you all have a minute while you're walking to the bathroom. And we have multiple of those a day. So it's a really perfect place to practice.
Well, and for people who like to be productive, right? And like to have, you know, productivity, they're like, well, I don't have time to work on that.
Yes, you do.
You know, okay, we go to the bathroom 10, somebody just told me 12 times a day, you go to the restroom at least. So if you're healthy.
Yes.
So you got opportunity there.
There you go.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah, I like that. I think that's a great reminder. Thank you so much, my friend. I so appreciate you being with me and with all of us and sharing your wisdom and your beautiful spirit. It was beautiful to spend this time with you.
Thank you, sweetheart. So appreciate it.
Thank you.
Much love and blessings to everyone.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Off the Cuff Podcast. I love being able to do work like this. It truly lights me up to bring other change makers to our community and amazing souls like Heather Ash. If you could take a moment, if you have any questions or comments, I saw the comments going nuts. I will go through and look at those and answer some of those for you if I can afterwards. But if you had any insights, any ahas, anything that really just stood out to you, please share those in the comments, because that's how other people learn your highlights, highlight it for others. So please share that. And when you do that, it absolutely it puts a ripple effect out. It's kind of like you're putting an exclamation point next to something that you've learned. Also, if you enjoyed this or you know somebody that might enjoy it, please tag them in the comments. And lastly, don't forget to grab the Wisdom of Our Feelings visualization. I'll put that link in the comments. And if you'd like some more information about me, you can go to sunnydonjohnston.com/join and pick up a 6-step process to manifesting your desires. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Have a fantastic rest of your day. Until next time, see you soon. Thank you so much for listening to Off the Cuff with SDJ. If you gained some knowledge, if you felt a connection, if you got some ahas or insight into this thing we call life, if you feel like you're a little more elevated than you were before you listened to this podcast, then please subscribe to this podcast. And if you're already signed up, please rate and review it. I'd greatly appreciate it. If you want to get more information about me and what I have to offer, go to my website, sunnydonjohnston.com. Thanks so much, my friend.